Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
And it is time for us. We are back. Those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor Jeff Smith. And he's hanging out in the indoor studio. Hopefully the air-conditioned indoor studio, because he is in Florida after all.
And I'm in Florida at Bonita Bay. Let me tell you, there isn't a whole lot of air conditioning going on down here, folks.
We're back into second winter here. The temperatures have been hovering around freezing, even for daytime highs in the 30s for the past few days. So I have not ventured forth to a golf course, nor has many other people, judging from the emptiness of the golf courses around me when I drive by them. Nothing sadder than a bright, sunny day with lots of green grass and nobody playing. It's not nice.
You're right. There's no fun there, is there?
A week ago, it was a beautiful day. And I went out to Neville Mead Golf Course here in town, which is a course I don't play. And I don't play it for a couple reasons. One is it's a pure links course. I'm not really thrilled with the design. And the other thing is every time I go there, there's at least a 20-mile-an-hour wind. Every time. It doesn't matter what direction you're playing.
You live in a windy area of the country.
It's always in your face. No matter what direction the hole is, it just makes no sense. But I did take my driver because I was scheduled for a PXG driver fitting.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Mr. Fancy Pants, huh? Yeah.
When I got to the tent set up at the very end of the practice tee, I mean, I told the dude, Brad, that was the pro there, I said, come on, man, you should have a shuttle service for people from the parking lot. There was a guy hitting, you know, he kept apologizing for taking my time. And I said, no, I'm getting mine for free. You go right ahead. I'm not going to get into anybody's attempt to make some money here. But Brad was really good, man. And this guy, I mean, he was basically telling you what part of the face he hit the driver on, judging from how it flew.
And
he was, I mean, I know that people who are, you know, cognizant of all those facts can do that. I can't. And I'm sure a lot of people who I play golf with may try to sell me that, but they wouldn't know either. They're just making it up. But he was hitting it nice. He had this consistent fade and it was set up and everything. And so we did the typical fitting thing, you know, you set up and you start hitting with your current club to get, right, you know, your current numbers. And I was doing okay. And then he gave me the PXG to swing, and the numbers weren't as good and the distance wasn't as good. And he said, hey, give me that. And he looked and he went, no, this is the wrong shaft. And he put the Ventus shaft in on the head, which is the same shaft I'm playing with now. And man, whoo, it flew.
And really?
Yeah, and he showed me you know, it was all with the TrackMan, and he had it all feeding into his iPad, and he showed me the TrackMan numbers, and he goes, all in the blue. And I went,
now, what that means to everybody here is that means that, John, you were optimizing your numbers of the ball flight. So, for example, your angle of attack of the club coming into the ball must have been good. Mm-hmm. The spin loft must have been good. The ball speed must have been good. The launch angle must have been good. The spin rate must have been good. And how high the ball flew must have been good, because otherwise you wouldn't have had it in the blue. TrackMan does this. They put this big blue color up there for you. So you know that you could not have hit it better based upon the speed that the club is moving.
Oh, cool.
So that means that you can find out. And it's a really wonderful tool for the people who are club fitters. Mm-hmm. Is they know what would it, could it have been better? Yes or no?
I guess.
But as a teacher, I look at that and I go, could it have been better? Yes or no? What do I need to do to get this player to produce this again and again and again. The club fitter is going to go, it's a head and a shaft. And the teacher is going to go, I don't know. Maybe it's the movement too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the club fitters don't say, I don't know, might be not the movement or not. But we can see it and go, we know.
Well, I did hit a couple bad shots. They were screamers, low screamers. It didn't go very far.
Those weren't blue.
No, they weren't blue. And
must have been red.
And the guy, I was getting red.
Stop hitting.
kind of embarrassing to hit a shot like that in front of a pro, you know. Anyway, although you'd think after dealing with you, I should be used to it by now. But
you should be.
But anyhow, Brad said, John, you know, when you're the first move you make in the takeaway is you're moving your hands forward just a little bit. So when you come back down, you're hitting it close to the heel. He said, just be more cognizant of keeping your hands closer to your body the way they are when you set up. And that's what I did. And that's when they started going all in the blue.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how certain little things can make something else happen?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's things you don't. And that's the thing about trying to fix yourself, because I had no earthly idea I was doing that. I had no idea. I was just getting frustrated. Why am I hitting them like this? I don't usually hit them like this. What am I doing? And if you have somebody there who knows and can look and notice and tell you what you're doing, it is so much more better than trying to figure it out on your own.
It is. So here's a thought. This is kind of a reasonable thought. If you pay attention to this, John, you've got a thing in your hands and it's so far onto the ground and the ball's in a certain place and your handle's in a certain place. And the second you change something, you've now changed the angles that you're delivering this club. Mm-hmm. So for example, you just gave one and said, hey, when I cram my hands forward a little bit, I now I've reset all the angles of my swing and delivery of this club into the ball, and it's now going to hit it on a different part of the club, or the face is going to be in a different place, or the face is going to speed up or slow down when it does it. There's all kinds of what happens when you change something. You change everything.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Everything is dependent upon everything else, man.
Yeah. You got that right.
Yeah.
You got that right, brother.
Kind of scary. But again, that's why not to make this a commercial for getting lessons, but that is why, especially if you find yourself not hitting it as well as you were hitting it at the end of last season, or not hitting it as well as you'd like to hit it, or not as well as you have on occasion hit it, you need to go to somebody who can answer the questions, why am I doing this? So,
you know.
And it's not your brother-in-law, and it's not the guy next door, you know?
Yeah, a good fitter will send someone to a good teacher if the player is doing bad things and going to hit it in a bad place on the club, or they're just not swinging as fast as they could. They're going to send them to somebody first.
Yeah.
A guy who's just trying to get through the day and take his fee for fitting is going to just say, all right, this is who you are right now. This is what I'm going to fit to. Okay. You know, so here we are, I'm at Bonita Bay and there's a great fitter here named Jordan and another great fitter named Matt. And they send me people to fix a problem that they can understand that that's a problem before they actually will fit them, because they know that these people are going to about to spend, you know, $1,000 plus on a set of new stuff. And they want them to be very satisfied.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's going to come back on them. If I get fitted for a suit and it doesn't fit, I blame the tailor. If I get fitted for a golf club and they don't work, I blame the fitter.
That's always the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love the fact that they send people to me so I can give them a better version of themselves. And then they can see a distance difference between the sticks. That's pretty much what it is. We all know that one club's not going to hit it any straighter than another, but we're always praying that one club that we could buy will hit it farther.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
But people are amazed at how I'm able to give them between 5 and 12 miles an hour on their drivers, like immediately.
Yeah.
Like how did that happen? That's a miracle. And the answer is you were just doing something that was so inefficient. I'm not sending people to the gym. I'm getting it done right there and I'm giving them something they can actually repeat. And it's not really hard to do, but everybody will, they'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and TaylorMade and Mizuno and Ping and on and on and on, right?
Right.
For a new driver of the promise of hitting at 20 extra yards.
And what's the ratio mile per hour versus?
About three miles an hour is going to get you another 10 yards with a driver.
Okay.
So I'm giving people 20 to 30 to 40 extra yards. And they look at me like, oh boy, you're not charging enough. I'm like,
yeah, because I can't wait to go back out with my regular group and show them this.
Well, because see, here's the thing. They're ready to go spend $500, $600, $700 on a driver.
Yeah.
So I'll say to them, if that's what you're going to do, then we're going to go about this. If I can get you, you know, how many yards you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? Oh, I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. And you're thinking, okay, so the 5 to 10 yards is worth this much money to them. Okay, what if I can give you that same 5 to 10? You pay me the same amount of money? What if I give you 15 to 20? Will you pay me more? Right? And that's the thing.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Well, I mean, you think about what is the value to them.
Yeah, definitely. What you can
actually give them.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you pay $700 on a driver that says you're going to get 20 more yards than you've ever gotten before, what would you pay to a guy who showed you the technique that can do the exact same thing and you won't have to spend quite that much money? We got more. We're going to talk more distances, different clubs, different techniques when we come right back. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys. If you want more distance, you want to hit it further, hang out. We'll be right back.
Man, you know, sometimes it can feel like we're a little too busy to take care of our own health problems. You know, so much going on, we don't want to spend any of our free time waiting around in a doctor's office and long pharmacy lines. Well, now you don't have to. With Hims. Hims, H-I-M-S, is changing men's healthcare by providing simple and convenient access to science-backed treatments for erectile dysfunction, hair loss, weight loss, and more. The entire process, 100% online, and you can get a new routine of improving your overall health faster. If it's prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free and in discreet packaging. No waiting room, no pharmacy visits. So start your free online visit today at hims.com/golfguys. That's hims.com/golfguys for your personalized treatment options. hims.com/golfguys. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See hims.com/golfguys for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Prices vary based on product and subscription plan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we are back. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys. I am John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor Jeff Smith, and he's going to do some Top 100 golf instructing. We'll just call this the distance episode. Distance. I mean, that is what everybody wants, isn't it?
It really is. Look, you know, every time somebody comes to me for help, and they have a club striking a ball problem, not a putting thing, not a wedge play thing, not an on-course thing, but I'm hitting a golf ball, I know that they all want the same three things. They want to hit it farther. Nobody has ever showed up on my lesson tee at all saying, Jeff, I hit it plenty far. I'm, matter of fact, it's probably too far. It's embarrassing. I can't, and nobody will play with me anymore. I hit it so far past everybody that they don't want to play with me anymore. I don't have that. I drive the green. They don't say that either. Hell, I'm hitting it over the green into the pond back there. No, they don't say that either. Mm. Right? That they're not saying stuff like, hey, I'm longer than Jason Zubak. I'm longer than Martin Borgmeyer. I'm longer than Kyle Berkshire. They're not saying that. Right? The other thing they want is they want to control their ball. And the other thing that they want is they want it to feel good.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about one thing that you can do that doesn't even change your golf swing, that you could maximize distance right away.
Okay.
It's like instantly maximize distance without changing anything about your golf swing. Hit it in the center of the face. Because I can make a club swing faster. And I could hit it on the bottom of the toe or the heel and not get anything out of it.
Right.
It would be inefficient. It would be powerless effort. But what most people are looking for is effortless power.
Right.
So we have to think if I had 5 minutes with someone who wanted to hit it better, farther, control their ball, make it feel good, right? So as they walked away from the 5 minutes that they spent with me, they would learn how to square a face and hit it in the middle of the face before I taught them how to step on the gas, right? I want to put the hands on the steering wheel and keep it on the road before I find that accelerator.
Right. So yeah, because club speed equates to ball speed equates to distance. But you got to make sure that you're not driving off the road, as you put it. Because if all you do is get to the woods faster.
Right. When you think about and you go, all right, I need my ball, because there are three factors in distance. All right. And they're all related to where you hit it on the club face. Ball speed is one of the factors. Spin is another one of the factors. And launch angle is another one of the factors.
Right.
So let's just look at your golf club for a minute. Every club that's in your bag, John, including your driver, they're all bottom weighted. You look at your iron, you pick it up, and you see this gob of metal down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. All right. The engineers, you know, the smart people who design these things, they put a bunch of weight at the bottom so that when you strike the bottom of the ball, all that bottom, the weight down at the bottom helps launch the ball up. That's one of the factors in distance, launch angle.
Launch angle, right.
Right? How high does it launch off the face? Okay, we need a decently high launch angle off the face. Because if I hit it and I didn't get the club to the bottom of the ball and I hit it thin, I'm hitting it on the low part of the club to the middle section of the golf ball. And this ball is not going to get up in the air. It's going to launch low. Therefore, it's going to fly low. And then it's going to hit the ground sooner. You get my point. Mm-hmm. It's the ground sooner. Well, that's where all the friction is, you know.
Right.
Ponds that we didn't carry it over. Bunkers we didn't carry it over. Yeah. Uphill landing areas. And just, oh, yeah, by the way, grass. Mm-hmm. All that's going to slow the ball down because none of us are playing on airport runways. So, because we're not, a launch angle helps us get the ball in the air and it gets us there. So hitting it in the middle of the club face gets that weight that's at the bottom of the club below the golf ball to help it launch. Okay. All right. Hitting it in the middle of the face also optimizes spin. If I hit it low on the club face or out toward the toe or over by the heel, the ball is spinning way too much. So I've not optimized the spin, so I'm losing distance because the ball is spinning. It's going to hit the ground sooner and spin backwards or stop rolling forwards, as you'd think of it. Or it's going to have so much spin, it's going to climb high and fall down steeply. So now we have too much spin because spin is a good thing up to a certain point. Mm-hmm. Much like anything else in life, too much of a good thing is no longer a good thing.
Right.
Hence, John, look down at your belly and think, well, too much pizza, no longer a good thing, right? In my case, too much pizza, too many brownies, no longer a good thing, right? So we've got to understand that that spin is that way. There's an optimal amount, right? So we talked about launch angle. We talked about spin. But now we got to talk about ball speed, all off the center of the face. You and I both know if I said, hey, John, I want you to hold up any club in your bag up in front of you and then touch the one spot on that club that you can hit a ball where it comes off the fastest and goes the farthest. You're instantly going to put your finger dead center in the middle of that club head, aren't you?
Yes.
That's why we need to learn this, folks, because that is the hot spot on every club face that we've that the manufacturers made. There is a hot spot. It is called the sweet spot. It is the part where the ball launches off the fastest, the spin is optimized, and the launch is the best.
And what has happened over the ensuing years is that the engineers have designed these clubs to make that particular spot larger and larger.
Yeah, that's because they made the heads larger and moved the weight to the outsides and the perimeters.
Right.
And once they do that, they've expanded how hard, because everybody knows how hard it is to hit that thing. Mm-hmm. Look at the tour players' clubs. You know, they got a little tiny spot, about the size of half a dime, worn out in the middle of their club face. They're that good.
Yep.
So how do I get people to hit the middle of the face and get more distance right away with the same club head speed? You know, John, if you looked at your clubs and if everybody listening to this was honest with themselves, they'd pull their clubs out of their bag and they'd look at the club face and they would realize they're hitting it all over the face.
That's why I clean my clubs after every round so that nobody will notice.
Is that it?
Yes.
Here's an idea for you, John. Why don't you get some of that blue painter's tape and play golf with it all over the face except the center. So in case you hit the center, then all of a sudden you just peel off the blue painter's tape and that's the mark that's left over and people think you're a better player.
I'll get right on that.
You'll get right on that way. Yeah, that's a good thought. So I've seen people, you know, they'll stand up there and they'll catch one in the center and then the next one they hit on the driving range and they'll see it off center and they'll lick their thumb and they'll go rub out that one that's not in the center. Right. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Making myself feel better a little bit now. Right. But no, the point here is how do I get it so that people can instantly maximize who they are in 5 minutes time? If I had a 5 minutes with people and that's what they were after, their ball would fly higher and better. Their ball would fly further and it would feel good because it always feels good on hitting it on the sweet spot. That's when we hit and we go, oh, it's butter. Right?
Yeah.
We got that. Right. Okay. So we have to know what's the best way. How do I do that in 5 minutes time?
Can you explain it in 1.5 minutes time?
I can.
Let's do it then.
First, I'm going to check their golf grip.
Okay.
And I'm going to make sure that two things are happening. Their natural arm hang on their lead hand and their trail hand goes on and their wrists are level with each other. Wrists and forearms are level with each other. One's not shockingly higher than another because that'll change the swing path to being somewhere off center. And they're going to hit it off center at that point. So I'll check that first. And then I'll make them swing between tees. And they're like, huh, what? I'm going to put tees on the ground, just barely wider than the head of their club and make them swing through there. And you know what? 5 minutes later, these people, after I've checked those things, can deliver that face right through there with a face facing forward, swinging forward, and it hits the middle of the club face. And they look at me like, that is the best I've ever seen. Why is that so effective? I'm like, because I just eliminated all that other garbage that we don't need to talk about, but we do need to talk about this.
Okay.
That's how it is. We can do that in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I did it in less than 1.5 minutes.
You did indeed. But that's an exercise that people could repeat at home in their own backyard or even in their garage or basement or living room for that matter.
Mm-hmm. If I can get that done, they can deliver that club right through the middle of those tees and boom, center face contact is happening.
And that
instantly they're better.
Yeah. 90% of the battle right there. Right.
Yep. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
You know, when we come right back, which we will in just a little bit, we will just reiterate the movements that precipitated the swing between the tees, maybe spend a little more time on the idea of the natural arm hang and the wrists being even. And we will have this episode up on YouTube so you can actually follow along visually if you want to. We are those Weekend Golf Guys, and I think we're going to come right back. Yeah, we're going to come right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We said we'd come right back, and we did. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Jeff mentioned natural arm hang and the fact that your wrist should be even. I just want to revisit those because I think we kind of skipped over them a little quickly for people who are going, what? What did he say?
Yeah, so you go through that again? He gave me a minute and a half, and I nailed it.
I know, right? You did.
Now we can elaborate.
Okay. Right?
We got a handful more minutes now. So here we go. I talked about how to deliver a club through some tees, meaning I'm just fixing your swing path right away. One of the biggest influences after you set your body toward your target, right? So let's say I got my targets out there and I got my body in line with it. Okay. Like we've been all talking about that for years, and there's a good reason for that. And but let's understand what happens next is crucial, because your arms are attached to your body and they are swinging the club. So those of you watching at home on the YouTube thing, I'm tipping over and you can see, because I'm standing here in front of this camera, you can see as my arms are hanging, you can see one arm. My forearms are level. I've put my grip on there in a way that my hands, as I pick them up like this, you can say, look at this. This guy looks like he's a one-arm golfer.
Yeah.
From a down the line perspective. Now, what I see a lot of times is people who have a club in their hand and they push the handle to the ground, like shove the butt of the club toward the ground, and they swing their arm in. And now, how many forearms do you see now, John? How many wrists? How many forearms? Two. Because one of them is higher off the ground than the other by a lot. Now, all of a sudden, my swing path, my right arm, my trail arm, the one that's, you know, I'm the right-handed golfer and I hit with the right hand a lot, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to swing this now out away from my body on the way back and down across my body on the way through, because my right arm is higher off the ground than my left. So my left arm is actually closer to my body. My right arm is farther from my body. And next thing you know, I'm swinging across my body inward, and there's no chance to have a powerful swing direction when it starts on the other side of your body, on the other side of the ball, coming toward your body inward. That's a less powerful, slower swing movement through the ball. Oh, yeah, by the way, and the club face is rarely going to be traveling forward and facing forward at the same time. It's always going to be cutting across the ball, creating a lot of spin. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're probably going to hit a lot of toe shots. Mm-hmm. You know, the ball's sitting here in a spot, the club's swiping back in, you know, across it from outside to in, and that means the part of the club I'm most likely going to hit is not the center. It's going to be the toe, and you all know the balls don't come very fast off the toe, and they spin a whole lot, and guess what? We're cutting across it, so we're swiping across it, creating a whole lot of spin. Nobody's happy with this.
Yeah. They may not be as fast, but they're fast enough to get you to lose a ball, because it's not going to go anywhere close to the direction you are hoping.
Yeah, you're right. So I mean, let's think about that in terms of leveling out the forearms. How do I do it? Well, the first thing I do is make sure that somebody is not tilting their chest down too much and cramming the handle low, so the thing points, you know, at their crotch or even under it, I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I just make them stand up a little taller, and the arm will raise, the left arm will raise, the shoulder will be up. It'll be a more of a natural athletic stance, and then we'll just swing the arm in, the right arm in off the side, and boom, here it is, looking down the line camera, John, all of a sudden, here I am back to a one-arm golfer again.
Yep.
Right? They're now level. I look at them up like this, and you can still see one arm. Guess where this path is going? Down the body line. It's a straighter path toward the target. It's no longer cutting across it. It is now coming from behind me and down around it in front. And next thing you know, I'm delivering a club into the back of the golf ball from the inside. And boom, I've found the center of the face. So swing path is affected by how you put your arms on. And I, what I didn't say was how far over your left hand was turned, how far under your right hand was turned. None of that stuff. I didn't talk about that.
Right.
I talked about whether your arms were level at that time. The second that they're unlevel, you are about to see a swing going one direction or the other across their body. So if my right arm is actually lower, if I raise my left so high, whoop, and I put my right arm underneath, you can now see two forearms, can't you?
Yep.
Except this time, my right forearm is the low one, and it will track inward on the way back and outward on the way through. So next thing you know, if I wanted an in-to-out path, I would do a little bit more of that. So I would tilt a little bit to the right. My left side would go up. My left arm would go higher off the ground. My right arm would be lower to the ground. I'd put it on there in the same hand position, and I instantly have a path that moves in-to-out.
I was going to ask if changing simply the arm relationship to each other is a technique necessary if you wanted to fade the ball or draw the ball.
Oh, I just kind of mentioned that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Certainly affects that, doesn't it?
It does. But can you do it on purpose?
Because it changes the swing direction.
Yeah.
And I did it on purpose, right?
Okay.
So I can make that simple adjustment. And I can be really good at helping people in a short amount of time swing it differently and deliver the center of the face to the ball. And next thing you know, they feel like it and they look at me like, that's amazing. How'd that happen so soon? And the first thing I did was not change how they put their hands on the club, but I changed the level of their shoulders and arms when they left them alone, and then they could see what it's like to keep the same grip feel in the hands to, as they relate to each other. But one hand is now, let's say one arm is now more level with the other. And next thing you know, the swing direction is a whole lot straighter.
Mm-hmm.
They hit the center of the face a whole lot more. And they're like, my God, I didn't change much at all.
Right.
And they're like, I've been playing this way for 20 years. I'm like, wow, that's a shame.
What a waste.
I see that, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, wait a minute. What a shame that is. I hate to see that for you. But then all of a sudden, they're delivering it and they're hitting the center of the club face. So that means all that weight at the bottom of the club just got below the ball and it came in at a really good angle. It hit it in the middle of the face. The ball launches high, has optimized spin, and it felt really good. And they're like, how many yards does that pick up? I'm like, 8. I'm like, I just picked up 8 yards. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the way, that's an 8 iron you're swinging.
Yeah.
Wonder how that translates to your driver. And they're like, oh my God, it's got to be 15. I'm like, sure does.
Yeah.
That'll be a $400 lesson, please. Because that'll be those guys, right? Because they're the ones willing to pay $400 plus for a new driver.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the downside to being able to swing the club correctly and hit center face on a consistent basis is now... All those yardages that you've come to expect from your clubs for so long are all wrong now.
Yeah, I know. Now you're going to be putting downhill putts. Right. Because you're going to be above the hole a lot.
Or chipping from the back.
Yeah. Or chipping from the back, right? And you're going to go, okay, how do I deal with this now?
Right.
How do I? The first round, you go, I don't trust it yet. I don't trust it yet. And you wind up completely nuking it over the pin all the time. And you're like, okay, I see this. But then when something's on the line, you always take the club that you know is going to get you there. And then you wind up with a 30-foot downhill putt because you had too much club.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But here's the thing is I tell people, hey, look, think of all that money you are about to spend on a driver. You spend it on me and 3 more rounds of golf.
There you go.
And they're like, oh, that's better. Like, yeah, you just got more out of that.
Right.
You know, nobody buys used drivers because it's somebody else's cast-offs that they felt like it didn't work for them.
Right.
So nobody else is going to snatch that thing up. So the value of the driver themselves, I just tell them, that, look, that thing's got about 0 resale value to you.
Yeah. hence why golfers of all stripes have old golf bags filled with old golf clubs.
Got a garage
full. Yes.
They do. They got a garage full.
Drivers and putters are primarily what they do, because those are the clubs that we think are going to save us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They're going to go, oh my God, I got to have something better than this.
Yeah.
This thing just doesn't work. Yesterday, I gave a guy a putting lesson. How much time do we have?
A minute.
Okay. We're going to do this in the next segment.
Okay.
Right? Because here we are talking about what golfers will do to get more distance, and they'll do anything. But if they do the thing that I mentioned, because I haven't even gotten a natural arm hang yet. I just talked about leveling off
for
that. They can hit it in the center of the face instantly. And then all of a sudden their confidence grows and they're willing to swing it faster. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing phenomenon, because they're no longer swiping across it, because the second you swipe across the ball and it starts spinning offline, you're not adding power.
No.
No golfer in the world still does that. They all hold something back. You're like, okay, this isn't working. I'm not going full tilt at this. Yeah. But I start getting them hitting it straighter in middle of the club face, and the thing goes farther and it feels good. Instantly, their eyes light up like somebody gave me the green light.
right?
Gotta go now.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, let's go fire this club through there faster. Can you go faster? And I just poke the bear a little bit. I'm like, really, John, that's all you got? You can do this a little faster now that it's going well. And next thing you know, they're picking up 20 yards and they're looking at me. And all I'm doing is giving them a couple things in the middle of the face. And then boom, 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 they're gone. Right? It's unbelievable. Yeah.
That's great. So we'll talk about natural arm hang and talk about putting when we come right back. We are the Sweet King Golf Cast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we are back. Those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. He's Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, Jeff Smith. He's teaching people down there how to get better. He's teaching you right now how to get better. More distance. That's what you want. Listen close, because we've told you how to get it so far.
A little bit earlier, I told you about my fitting experience for a new PXG Black Ops driver. And Brad, the pro who is doing the fitting, he told me right up front, he said, you know, John, PXG irons have always been the best there possibly could be. But I will admit, he said, that our drivers didn't really have the same abilities to change your game as our irons did. But I think with this Black Ops, we have finally got it perfect. You know, PXG says nobody makes clubs the way they do, period. And they're not lying. I was hitting the ball straight and high and further than I was with my older driver, which is a good driver, and it's only 2 years old. What I'm going to say is they call it a game changer. They say that because it will change your game. If you're farther down the fairway and in the fairway, your second shot's going to be a lot better. Your scores are going to be a lot lower. You need to check off this Black Ops driver, because it's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness, but you do not have to sacrifice distance to get that forgiveness, and you get incredible ball speed, and it pushes distance to the absolute limits. Again, more forgiveness, more distance, and no sacrifices. You want one of these things? You want to check it out? Trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You will be impressed with it like I was. So you learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/golfguys. Remember that, pxg.com/golfguys for free shipping on all equipment, pxg.com/golfguys.
We talked a little bit earlier in the segment about how to hit it in the middle of the club face. All right. And I mentioned three things that I'll do. If somebody gave me 5 minutes, I'm going to get them in the middle of the club face in 5 minutes time. And I said, I'm going to do three things. All right. I'm going to get them to hold the club with their natural arm hang with their lead hand. So right-handed golfers, it's their left hand, and pick up the club face and go, okay, here it is. I'm holding onto this club just right down here at my side. And I just pick it up and the club face is straight. But then I just got done talking about, we're going to level off the forearms before we put the right hand on, right? So one's not going to be higher than the other. We're going to level them off. So that means we're going to deliver one down the line and get to the middle face. And the third thing I said is we're going to swing between some tees, because there's some visuals. So I put a couple tees on the ground and I stick, you know, like, let's say I got a mat right here in the studio, right? And I go through and I just put the club head on the ground. And I put a tee in the ground on either side of it into the mat so that they would, if they clobbered either tee, they would know they didn't swing through there. But I give them about a quarter inch on each side. So that way, you know, maybe 3/8 of an inch is total, maybe a little less than a quarter inch, right? But I make them swing it right through there so they know darn well they can before I put a ball there. So if I've got, you know, my thumb on one side and a finger on the other, and I've just framed this thing right here, I know that I'm going to swing this club right between there and I'm going to hit center cut. It's going to happen. And everybody gets that.
Right.
So what I do before I put a ball in is I've got a tee on one side, a tee on the other, and then I'll put a tee right in the middle and I'll say, all right, go get the tee in the middle without touching the other two. Just go rip it right out of the ground. Next thing you know they got the club to the bottom of the ball and they rip through that tee. And they know that it went through there. So they know, no problem. I'm just going to hit it in the middle of the face. Then the first thing I do after they do a couple of those, I'm just going to go, okay, we're going to stick a ball down there. Next thing you know, they go get the bottom of the ball and they think that's a pure shot that they're ever going to hit. And they're like, how do we do that so fast? Because I just use what they already have, hand-eye coordination and enough athleticism to get that done. So that's the first thing we do. We level off those forearms. We stick some tees in there. And we make them swing between them, between those tees. And once we do that, I know we're going to get center face contact. Let's now move to the natural arm hand grip. This is the thing that almost nobody does. So I'm going to face in the camera and I'm just dropping my hands and arms and look at where they hang. So John, you can imagine how yours hang. Everybody's just going to look at themselves and look at my lead arm, my left hand, right? Just hanging naturally when I'm standing in a golf stance, my arms hang that my palms are basically facing my thighs.
Right.
I don't see anybody grip a club how their arms naturally hang right off the bat. I have to shake their arms free, let them go and go, hey, look at what was happening. So what would be on top for me? My index finger knuckle would be on top of a club and my left thumb would be on the side. So I just put a club in my hand at that point and pick the club up and go, ooh, natural arm hang meets straight line club face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So then what happens is I move, my arm doesn't roll around and the face doesn't twist around because I'm just bringing it back and through across my body in the way that my arm already wants to be hanging out of its shoulder socket. But most people, John, they come to me and their arm hangs one way and then they alter it. Almost always they alter it where the back of the hand goes more toward the target, a weaker golf terminology grip, thumb more on top. So the first thing that happens is they put their hand on it in that way. The first thing that happens is as soon as they move it, it starts to roll to its natural position, thus opening up the club face quite a bit.
Yes.
And when they swing it down through, it doesn't roll back. So the club face now comes through facing open, facing to the right. And then golf teachers who allow that sort of thing to start, they say, oh, well, we got to turn the left wrist down just to square the club face. Wait a minute. We got about a third of a second.
Yeah.
To do this.
Yeah.
Now, that's a slow down swing.
Yeah.
It's right? There's a fast down swing is about a quarter of a second.
It's a move you don't have time to come. No, you don't.
And nobody's got time for this.
No.
It's like that YouTube video from a few years ago. Ain't nobody got time for that. Right. Remember that video?
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah. So anyway, I just let them say, okay, we're going to start with your natural arm hang, put the club in there, pick the club up and stick it out in front of you and go, hey, is the lines on the club face, are they straight up and down? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, okay. So we'll turn and we'll go, all right, we'll just make a one-handed swing. And what are they about to get at impact? And it's a square club face because they didn't manipulate any arm.
Right.
Then they put their hand on the other side of it with the forearms level and they're just going to swing like that. And they go, oh my God, it's the easiest feel I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's because we left your body parts alone and we didn't try to alter them and twist them in the socket the way that they don't want to be.
Right.
They'll always seek the middle zone of their mobility. And that's how that arm naturally hangs. It isn't that they can't hang palm up for me. It's not that I can't do this. It's the fact that the natural place for them to go is more palm toward my thigh. I can turn it the opposite way as well. So I'm kind of going somewhere in the middle of my zone of how my arm naturally hangs. Guess what? I can square a club face like that, and I don't feel like I'm doing a darn thing.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're really
not. So I'm not just advocating a stronger left-hand grip, right? What I'm advocating is understanding how your arm naturally hangs down and hold the club that way, because there's less movement on the way back of the arm and club rotating around. And if there's less movement, now I'm not having to fix a problem. So I didn't start with a problem that I had to fix on the way down, because I certainly created one on the way back.
Right.
I don't want to do that. That's just dumb.
Because your arm is going to be in the natural position at the bottom of your swing anyway.
Yeah.
And unless you are one of those guys whose adrenaline can slow down time so that you have the time to make that conscious change.
Yeah, that's
but you don't.
Right.
So,
So let's talk about this natural arm hang grip in putting as well.
Yes, please.
Oops. Putting? I thought they were talking about distance. Wait. Now that we're on the topic of natural arm hang, I just talked to you about what happens when you do hang it and put it in a different place than where it naturally hangs. As soon as you begin to move, it rolls the club face open. Mm-hmm. What club is going to cost us the most shots if we roll the club face open and have to square it? It's arguable that it's the putter or the driver. Mm-hmm. It could be argued either way, couldn't it?
Okay. Yeah, I guess it could. Yeah.
Okay. But the putter is more precise. The driver, we got a big place to hit it into, and the putter, we got a little place to hit it into. So we got to be more precise with the putter, right? In that simple thought, even though the driver is going to go far, if it's 2 to 3 degrees offline and you hit the ball hard, it's going a long way offline. So we got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
So the putter, I'm also going to grip the lead hand with the putter with the way the arm naturally hangs. And that means that grip that's always flat on the top on the putter isn't in the right spot anymore.
Right.
So I'll turn the putter grip so that their hand can hold it the way that the arm naturally hangs so that the putter grip fits into their hand. So a lot of times the flat spot will go, basically over on an angle off to the right side. And that little ridge from the flat spot to the other part of the grip, you know, the curvy part, will be in the lifeline of their hand. And you know what? And I square the club face to that and bam, people hit a straight golf shots or straight putts like you wouldn't believe. They look at me like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be that way. I'm like, because you're doing too much face opening on the way back that you have to close it on the way through and you're never good at that.
Right.
How about we just don't let that problem happen to begin with, folks?
Yeah. Eliminate so the problem easier. Completely, man.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
Right. I hate the notion of having a problem for people that they've created on their own, and we let that happen. It's just terrible. Can't do it.
Nope.
So anyway.
So I hope you have taken this all to heart, man.
Hope so.
And I got to go get me one of them little magnetic sticks so I can make sure that club face is straight, man.
Like that's the greatest teaching tool I've ever had.
It is. Right? It works really great. And if you can't see it on YouTube, make it a point to go watch this one because you got to see how that thing works. But just to recap, arm hang, natural arm hang. Make sure you got that down because gripping it with the natural grip that your arm hang dictates is going to allow you to hit it center face more often, giving you more speed, more distance, better putting, and a lot lower score the next time you go out to play some golf.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.